Very pleasant good morning to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome to another devotion brought to you by the Anglican Diocese of the Bahamas and the Turks and Caicos Islands. I am Father Roderick Bain, the rector of St. Barnabas Anglican Church, New Providence. Let us pray. Almighty God, you alone can bring into order the unruly wills and affection of sinners. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of our world, our hearts may surely there be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing you have made and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in making us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may obtain of you, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Well, now our scripture reading. Our scripture reading is taken from the Eucharistic Gospel for today. St. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 31 to 42. St. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 31 to 42. Another time, the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus replied, "I have shown you many good works from my Father. For which of these are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for your blasphemy, because you, though only a human being, are making yourself God." Jesus answered, "It is not written in your law, 'I said, you are gods.' If those of whom the word of God came are called gods, and the scripture cannot be annulled, can you say that one of them whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world is blaspheming because I said, 'I am the Son of God'? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that my Father is in me and I am in the Father." Then they tried to arrest him, but again he escaped from their hands. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing earlier, and he remained there. Many came to him, and they were saying, "John performed no signs, but everything that John said about this man was true." And many believed in him there. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord. They took up stones again to stone him. I speak to you now in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Throughout the Gospel of St. John, in classical Johannine way, there is a conflict that is created in telling the story of Jesus Christ, a conflict wherein which Jesus is always one who is poised, who knew his mission, who understood what he was doing, and was focused on the task. But he found himself in a world that was very misunderstanding and had no clue, no idea, no inkling of what God was doing in him. Not only was it an intriguing thing, as we read, to see the person of Jesus Christ as he operated in that world, but also to see what God was doing in Jesus. Because the enigma that is Jesus Christ, the incarnate Lord, is one whom, as we look at the story, we recognize that there are two different planes that all of this is playing out on. There is, of course, the human plane that is very, very and totally misunderstanding, meaning the human mind and the human beings in the story did exactly what any human being and we all would have done if we were there in place of those Jews and all those who had, in many ways, contended with Jesus. Jesus was, in their way, and would be in our view as well, blaspheming. He's saying that he is the Son of God. He's saying that he and God are equal. He's saying that he's the savior of the world. And he's saying so much so that the Jews in his day, and if we were there, we would have done the very human thing by saying that you cannot be who you say you are. And this is the crux of the matter. People did not believe that Jesus was who he said he was. This in itself caused a whole heap of misunderstanding. Misunderstanding, though, in our lives is something that we all must pay attention to. Because if we are on a godly path, we would recognize that people will not understand what we are doing as it relates to what God wants us to do. The world has its objectives. And if we are fleshly, if we're wrapped up in fleshly desires, if we are caught up in the world of the flesh, we will only do exactly what our flesh would want us to do. And for the most part, that is very predictable. That is something that is commonplace and something that everyone else can see and know, that a person, a human being, one of us, acts in a particular way. It can be classified as a very human act. Anything outside of that, we will sometimes question. And the Jews questioned Jesus because he acted outside of the ordinary. He, of course, Jesus Christ, was an ordinary person, of course, with an extraordinary side. And it is this extraordinary side that was problematic to them. Because Jesus, though all man, was also fully God. The incarnation becomes a mystery for all of us. And during this period of Lent, as we enter into Holy Week, for us then, it causes us to realize that the link between the physical world in which we live and the spiritual world in which the incarnation becomes so real, that link is somehow bridged by the act of Jesus Christ. That he who was human takes us across a bridge into a very spiritual and sacred space. But we must be careful not to be stubborn in ourselves, not to let our fleshly selves, and not to let the predictability of the flesh cause us to not want to believe in what God is doing for us and to us in our day and in our time. We can be so stubborn in our fleshly self that just as the Jews would say, you cannot be who you say you are. We do not believe that Jesus can change the odds for us. We may not believe that Jesus can transform our lives. We do not see anything better for us in this world. And we feel hemmed in, boxed in, and in many ways imprisoned because we feel that the predictability of our world is one in which we feel almost hopeless as we exist in this realm. The Jews, despite whatever legalism they had and their law, their legal system, they recognized that that is all that they needed. And here it is, a threat now. A man who they would say claims to be the Son of God is now saying a bit more, a bit extra. He's adding on to something that would be a confusion to them so that they can never, ever, ever see him as the one that he says that he is. The Son of God. And this is, as I said, the crux of the matter. Because as we go through Holy Week next week, this misunderstanding led to them killing Jesus in the end. Jesus was not killed because he was hated. Jesus was not killed because he did miracles or performed signs or he angered the people. The main reason was that Jesus was saying that he and God are one. And that is blasphemous to the people in Jesus' day. And for us today, we are looking for the presence of God in the common and in the ordinary. Yes, we know the story. We know the end of the story, meaning as we read the scripture, we see how the story is developing and we see how the end happens. We recognize that when we go through the Gospels next week, that there will be a death of this very same man. Jesus would say to them, I did miracles, I performed signs, I did works and wonders. Which one of these are you going to stone me for? And they told Jesus, not none of those we're stoning you for. We're stoning you because you say that you and the Father are one. And so in our world today, in your world today, and as we live, there will be people who will not understand or see or in any way believe that God is in us and we are in God, and there's a oneness of God in us, in our lives. Jesus died just so that as he is risen again, that he's able to live and be lived out in our lives. The tragedy is that we sometimes place Jesus in a place external of ourselves. Even the whole story of our salvation, we tend to leave it somewhere in a once upon a time place. That is something that is old and happened a long time ago and external to our everyday experiences. And then we forget that the element, the import of this great story is that Jesus did it for you and for me. There is a personal element in all of this. Just as Jesus says that I and the Father are one, we must look at the story of the death and crucifixion of Jesus and not be enthralled by the how that it happened, but be more concerned as to the why. Why did it happen? And next week we will go through the Gospels and we will see great conflicts, great misunderstandings, great confusion, and humankind at his or her best, where Jesus will be tortured and put to death, crucified, where man would have thought that man had done his best or his worst, as the song would say, to Jesus, but at the end, the grave will not be his resting place. So I want us to look at this story again and to see the personal element for us. As we begin Holy Week, I want us to look at all stories and see ourselves in it. Not just looking at the how did Jesus die, or how did the Good Friday event take place, or how did Jesus met his death, or how it is that these people are now in conflict with Jesus. But ask the question, why? And the answer must come that Jesus did it for you. And you must say, Lord, for me, you did that. Or Lord, for me, for my salvation, you did that. It must move us then to a place where in a personal way, in a very personal conviction, we can now say that because Jesus acted in the way that he did, it led to our salvation. Maybe then today be appreciative that Jesus did not cower or become afraid of the status quo of his world, but Jesus boldly represented himself, boldly represented the God that is in him, boldly represented his Father. May we today then be very disappointed in ourselves when we have opportunities in conflicts to represent Jesus. We have opportunities when there are tensions to let people see and know that the God in us will be seen. Where we demonstrate in powerful ways, Jesus demonstrated that no matter what they said or their misunderstanding were in his day, he is going to be exactly who he is. His identity is sure. Our identity today must be sure. And it must be sure in the fact that we are solidified in our faith. We recognize that this business of salvation that Jesus came to this world is one in which, in a personal way, we must take seriously. This cannot be just a week that is coming that we're off from work, off from school, or have nothing to do because it's a holiday. But this should be a personal time when we realize that for me, Jesus, you died. For me, you came. And for me and my salvation, I am thankful and I am grateful. I do pray then that as we enter this most holy week, that we prepare ourselves spiritually and prepare ourselves that we see aright. Not as the misunderstanding crowds that we will see on Palm Sunday, or the misunderstanding crowd on Good Friday, all of those didn't understand the purpose of God. God wants us today to understand aright His purpose and be bold enough to represent God in this world. Our prayers then today should be, Lord, show me yourself clearer so that I may see you and represent you in powerful ways in our world today. Amen. This is my hope then and my prayer for all of us this day. May God bless you. Do share this devotion with someone else. And I pray that God will continue to keep us all and that we observe a very holy week come next week. And now, may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.